Welcome back to Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. At the top of the show for that first segment, I mentioned that we're not really the types to fall in with the New Year's resolution thing, at least not in the newsroom. And then I talked to a career counselor, and I may be changing my tune.
You have about 15 or 20 seconds for somebody who's reviewing your resume, whether it's printed or online, to look at it.
Because January is the prime time to take out that resume. You might want to print a new copy without that coffee mug ring on it and do some editing on the old CV. Why? Well, because it's your story. It's the story you want to tell to not only your present boss, but also, of course, any potential boss you may get. And a revamped resume definitely helps you stay on point when you're trying to poach that raise during your annual review. Here's my conversation with a talent recruiter and career placement expert.
Tom Gimbel, G-I-M-B-E-L, founder and CEO of LaSalle Network.
I think the vast majority of us somehow survived our holiday parties with our corporations and our businesses without embarrassing ourselves too much. I hope you did as well, Tom.
Yeah, no, had a very good holiday season, and I came out unscathed.
Okay, I'm thinking that this is the time of year when people might be polishing their resumes and stuff, and I'd like to have a broad conversation just about the workplace in general, and maybe we can start with tips on resume building.
Absolutely. I think when you're looking at a resume, and it really ties in with your year end and planning for a review and looking at the coming year and the next 12 months and then looking at your resume, is you've got to make a list of what you've accomplished. And to go through, and it's hard to do if you haven't been keeping any notes or looking at things. So it's really a resolution for the new year to look back at every month while you're going through the year of what you've done. But look back over 2016 and look at what your major accomplishments were. Did you save the company money? Did you make the company money? Were there any projects or committees or teams that you were a part of? Those are the types of things that you want to have as bullet points on your resume of what you accomplished. Not what you administrated, but what you accomplished for the organization.
I see. It's kind of like nobody's going to advocate for you as much as you, and you got to get comfortable with that, right?
Most definitely. And when you're looking at a resume, you really, where things have changed to, it used to be the old days, you got to have a one-page resume. That's not really the case anymore. A two-page resume is fine unless you're just graduating from college.
Right.
And if you have really detailed work, and you want to make sure that you have a bullet format, not a paragraph format. If you've been out of college more than a couple years, have your education at the bottom of the resume. Don't have an objective, have a summary, because an objective will limit you for certain companies or jobs or industries, where if you have a summary of just what your strengths are, and then go right into where you worked, the size of the company, and the roles and the responsibilities that you have, what you accomplished.
Now, you mentioned bullet points and not paragraph formatting, and I wonder, does that help with online presence as well, like keywords and things like that?
It's not necessarily as much. When you have SEO or search engine optimization and how a lot of the job boards and databases are, they're going to find the keywords in any format. But it's what's aesthetically pleasing in the eye. You have about 15 or 20 seconds for somebody who's reviewing your resume, whether it's printed or online, to look at it. And bullet points pop. And it takes people's eye to exactly what you want them to see versus getting lost in paragraph form. So to have it in a bullet point is really make sure the bullets are good and valid, but you want to do that and have your strongest ones at the top.
Hey, Tom, in your first answer, you mentioned when we were talking about, you know, rebuilding our resumes, you mentioned annual reviews as well. Any tips to clip there when it comes to talking to the boss about maybe getting a raise in 2017?
Absolutely. One of the biggest mistakes that a lot of employees make is they talk about needing a raise. Right?
Okay.
And that is not your boss or your employer's problem. Whether you want to buy a condo or a house or you need a new car or you have a kid going to college, that's all great, but those are personal life decisions that you've made. You get paid at your job for what you accomplish.
Right.
So don't make the mistake of talking about your personal needs. Talk about your professional accomplishments, the worth you bring to the company, both the tangibles and the intangibles. This is what I accomplished. On another side point, another column, I'm also a great culture aspect here. I go to every happy hour. I'm on the company softball team. I'm on three committees to make the company stronger. Talk about those issues. We've had turnover of 30% in my group, and I've been the long person that stayed here. Those are the types of stories that need to be told to your manager and your manager's manager when you're going through a review period.
We're speaking with Tom Gimbel. He is CEO of Tom Gimbel Incorporated, if you will. And he's encouraging all of us to take that C-level responsibility when it comes to our own careers. My next question for you, Tom, is I noticed that it seems like the best company to work for list that happens every year is kind of important. How big is corporate culture when it comes to acquiring and hiring talent?
It's a big deal. Our company, LaSalle Network, we've been best place to work both in Chicago and San Francisco, our other offices. We've won national awards for that. And it really is a great piece to tell to candidates. People want to work at places that value culture. However, the interesting thing is that not every culture is right for every person. And just because a company is a great place to work and they win awards, that means the people that work there like it, right? They attract people that like it. And in companies that don't, they're retaining people that it may not be their dream place to work, but they just need a job. And those are two very different cultures, and you just have to be aware that just because a company wins an award as the best place to work doesn't mean it will be that for you. And you need to figure out what's important to you and then find companies that match up with that.
That's a fair and balanced point you make, because you did mention LaSalle Network, which is a national staffing and recruiting firm. So you are in the proverbial catbird seat when it comes to trends in hiring. So what are you seeing on the landscape for 2017 as far as people looking for work and where they're going to find it?
We're seeing a lot of companies are hiring. The major metropolitan areas, the L.A., San Francisco, Chicago, New York, Boston, Miami, Dallas, those cities are still, they have a lot of job growth. The rural areas are still the ones that are feeling the remnants of the housing crash and waiting for Main Street, if you will, to recover to Wall Street. But the overall job market across the country is good. I think what we're seeing post the election hangover is that there is some buy-in to companies bringing jobs back to America. We're starting to see some movement in the auto industries and in manufacturing like that, which is good for the blue-collar rural areas. And professional service firms that tend to be the mainstay in this day and age in big metropolitan areas are hiring. What the positions are, still seeing a lot of data analytics, a lot of IT, business intelligence, things along those lines, and then following that up with sales, marketing, and then back office operations positions are in high demand.
You know, we have an occasional series on this show called The Gig Economy, and I wasn't going to ask this, but it sounds like I'd be dumb not to. What are you at LaSalle seeing as far as the gig economy or people going from temporary to permanent or choosing temporary?
Yeah, I mean, temporary staffing has been around for 70 years, and now in this day and age, because of technology, people are calling it a gig economy. There's really two sides to that. Is corporations tend to like people that want to be there for a while. They want to be able to plan their budgets and their benefits and know that people want to grow the traditional career path. And the overwhelming majority of people want that as well. When you have a family and a mortgage and kids, to know that you have a paycheck every 2 weeks and a retirement plan, that's a pretty good thing. The gig economy is great for people in transition. It's great for people that need supplemental income. But we're not seeing that really overarchingly taking over for traditional corporate America.
Fair enough. Tom, thanks a lot for your time and your sharing of your expertise this morning.
Always good to be with you.
That was Tom Gimbel. He's a workplace expert and talent manager with the recruiting and placement firm LaSalle Networks. You can check out LaSalle and other workplace websites at facebook.com/techonomicsradio. And for a link to this segment and all of our segments, check out past shows and podcasts at kgoradio.com/techonomics. And you may even want to add to your musical playlists. So we have that too. Links to the music we choose for each week's show gets posted back at that facebook.com/techonomicsradio. Coming up next, we get under the hood on that last jobs report from 2016, and maybe we'll see which direction it's pointing when it comes to hiring and firing in 2017. I'm Jason Middleton. This is Techonomics. Please come on back.